This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. With me, as always, is Chris Teague, our co-host, and he is ensconced in Maine again today, probably in just a very nice situation, I would think. Mid-July, Maine. What could be better?
Not much. I've been spending quite a bit of time at the beach. I have to say it's been very nice this year.
Yeah, well, we're a little limited in going to the beach, although beaches are back open in this West Coast town in which I live, you know, just south of the Los Angeles International Airport, where there isn't as much plane traffic as there used to be. So things are going well as we're doing America on the Road cross country. Chris writes for a number of websites, including DrivingToday.com, as I do, and we're both contributors to Forbes.com and a variety of others. And one of the lucky things we're able to do is drive a new vehicle each week and then report on it here on America on the Road. And we've got some pretty cool stuff for you this week in the road test segment. We're going to test the Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Maybe a name new to many of you, but we'll explain. And Chris, what were you driving?
I drove a vehicle that will probably not be new to anyone listening, the Honda CR-V.
Not new, but you know, certainly valuable. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about its relative merits with the others in that very crowded class. Our special guest is going to be talking about a new vehicle that's kind of in that class, really, or maybe one step down from that class, and it's the Chevrolet Trailblazer. I guess it's maybe one notch down from CR-V in size. Brad Franz is the marketing manager of SUVs at Chevrolet, and he's going to be our interview subject. So we will talk at some length about the all-new 2021 Chevrolet Trailblazer. Before we do any of that, though, let's go to the news, because we promised you the latest news. What's a latest news piece you have for us, Chris?
Well, as you and I were talking about off the air just a moment ago, Toyota's made some moves to update the Camry and has a new version of the Corolla coming out. So it looks like those two lines will be pretty fresh going forward, although it looks like powertrains will stay the same for the Camry. New updates outside. They dropped some trim levels for the Camry, new wheel designs. So it looks like just a very slight mid-cycle refresh for the Camry. The Corolla, on the other hand, got a really sporty trim coming out. What was the name of that you read to me earlier, Jack?
The Apex. Yes, the Apex. And let me go to that data here. Yeah, it's a corner-carving affordable sports sedan. I like the sound of all of that, really. I like affordable, I like sports sedan, and I like corner-carving. So, you know, that's coming up. Apex applies to and refers to clipping the Apex, which we do wonderfully well as we're out on the track. Chris and I, it's available on either the Corolla SE or XSE trim levels. So I think there's some appearance to it, and also a little more oomph under the hood.
Right, it's got the 2.0 liter. It's a high compression engine that Toyota's been working on. So should be a fun little car. The Corolla, I've liked the newer versions of the Corolla. The hatchback, it was very sporty. So it's nice to see them take it in a more, I guess, aggressive direction, especially since we're not going to get their hot hatchbacks here in the States. So glad to see they're putting more effort into the Corolla line, at least in terms of a sporty direction, because they've done such a good job with the TRD Camry and Avalon models.
Right. And then there's some news actually on the Avalon line. There's an XSE. Easy for radio people to say that. A nightshade edition of the Avalon. What are those people in the old people's homes going to think of that, huh? I think they're going to be styling. Actually, the Avalon is far beyond that kind of stereotype that it used to have. I mean, I like the Avalon a lot. And, you know, kind of a snarky version of that, I think that might be a pretty cool sleeper. 301 horsepower. Not bad. Certainly not a drag strip car, but I think there's something to that. What's your take on that, Chris?
I agree. You don't have to look back that far in time to find that 300 horsepower was a very big number. So I think that's going to be a fun car, or maybe not a fun car, but at least an interesting car for people who want a comfortable cruiser.
Yeah, and I think some reasonable degree of fun. I mean, as you say, 300 horsepower is nothing to sneeze at. There are times when 300 horsepower was what Corvette was offering, for example. So not bad at all. There's going to be a new 2020 Audi e-tron model. The Sportback version is coming into dealerships as we speak, fully electric, and it's going to have that coupe-ish design. It's one of those crosses between a coupe and an SUV, where they have four doors and a hatch, of course, as an SUV would have. But at the same time, they have a roofline that's, I guess, somewhat reminiscent of a coupe, or, you know, certainly more expressive than the typical squared-off SUV. So that should be arriving pretty quickly, too.
I agree. And now that you mentioned that, it reminds me of a piece of news I saw earlier today from Nissan. I'm going to probably butcher this name, the Ariya SUV. It's all electric. Should also have around 300 miles of range. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, when everything starts landing next year, where it stacks up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the folks at Tesla might have a little bit of trepidation now, as they're seeing major manufacturers wade into their territory. And not everyone wants a car that looks exactly like a Tesla, and certainly not everyone wants a car that looks like a Model X, or maybe even a Model Y. So folks who want electric vehicles are going to have more and more choice. We're probably going to have, by 2025 or so, 100 pure electric vehicles on the American market. And you know, that'll change things rather radically for the folks up in Fremont, California, the folks doing Tesla.
I'll take it. I'm a fan of Tesla's cars, but I'm even a bigger fan of competition driving innovation. So
yeah,
I'd love to see what comes out.
And we're certainly going to see that. And I think that's the news that we have for today, fresh off the press. I mean, literally, you know, from our computer into your ears, as we promised, the latest automotive information from around the world. In the road test segment, as I mentioned, we're going to be testing the Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport and the Honda CR-V. So stay with us for that. We'll be right back with that. When we come back right here on America on the Road, I'm Jack Nerad, and with me is Chris Teague. We appreciate the fact you're with us. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jackie Red back with you, along with Chris Teague, and thanks so much for being with us. It is road test time, and our road test vehicles are crossover SUVs this time around. And why not? Because that's about, you know, 50% of the market these days. Everybody is driving those kinds of vehicles, and they're getting more expressive, sportier, more interesting, which I'm not sure exactly describes what you're going to tell us about, Chris, but you were driving the all-new Honda CR-V. Tell us about it.
You're absolutely right. It is not that sporty, but it does look the part. It definitely looks sportier than it is. But under the hood, it's got a 1.5-liter turbocharged four-cylinder. It makes about 190 horsepower. It's paired with Honda's excellent continuously variable transmission. I think I mentioned the same sort of transmission in the Civic just a few weeks ago. It's on full display here. It works just as well. Let's see. The CR-V inside is extremely comfortable. I tested the touring trim. So I had leather seats and a wireless device charging pad, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, I believe, wood trim, sunroof, the whole works. And from a family perspective, and I was just writing about this earlier today, it's tough to beat the CR-V. It's got class-leading cargo space. It's got a very comfortable backseat with plenty of room for both adults' legs and full-size car seats. I was able to gently place my 3-year-old daughter into the back seat without much trouble at all. And my 7-year-old daughter rode comfortably on the other side in her booster seat, even with my 6-foot-tall frame sitting right in front of her. So just all around a good effort. You know, they've had a long time to refine the formula, so it's really no surprise that it is as good as it is. I think, you know, if there's any downside, it's really going to be with acceleration. You know, I mentioned it's not sporty. It definitely can get up to speed and cruise around town just fine, but I had to put my foot down a little bit harder than I expected to get up to highway speeds, which may be a disappointment from some people, especially if they're...
Yeah, you shouldn't be dragging your foot outside the car. Maybe that was the problem.
That might have been the problem. But overall, just a really well-rounded, well-put-together vehicle that that works well for families. You know, I think the move that Honda made to make the turbocharged engine standard across the line was a good one. The 2.4, I think it was, or 2.5 from last year was good, but the turbocharged engine is definitely peppier. And there's a hybrid version, which I didn't test, but the hybrid version gets incredible gas mileage and also has more horsepower too. It's up to 212. So like I said, a great effort, well-rounded, just not going to be able to expect, you know, scorching performance out of it. And frankly, you don't need to. So I think it does the job that it's supposed to do well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I think they're very excited at Honda about the hybrid version. I think they've seen what Toyota has done with its hybrid version of the RAV4, and that's their answer to that. And, you know, that is a really interesting head-to-head battle being waged there. Those two brands go at it tooth and nail, and that results in better vehicles for us, so we're all for that. And there's absolutely nothing to complain about with the CR-V, with the exception of you see them all the time. and I guess that you're seeing them all the time because people like them and they do the job they need to do.
That's absolutely right.
Well, I was driving. This vehicle might have the longest name of any vehicle I have reviewed this year. It is the 2020 Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport SEL Premium R-Line. So I don't know how many words that is, but I could probably count them up for you. It's a lot. The name of the car is maybe longer than the car. It's actually a really, really nice car. I had a lot of people, it's a kind of a crossover SUV-ish thing, a little coupe in its own way, maybe not quite in sportback style from Audi, but it's a 5-passenger rather than a 7-passenger. That the typical Atlas is, and it's a good-looking vehicle. A lot of people on my block complimented me on this car, and they're used to me having a new car in the driveway every week, so this one obviously moved them to at least speak to me, which is good in these days of lockdown, when you wonder whether you should even speak to your neighbors or not. Good-looking inside and out. I've always liked Volkswagen interiors. This is just kind of epitomizes that in the Atlas Cross Sport. And one thing you wonder about when a European manufacturer does an SUV is, will it be roomy enough? And this certainly was. I mean, plenty of room in the front seats for the two folks in the front bucket seats. Really wide, roomy rear seat, and as I mentioned, for three. And then a very large cargo area. Not too encumbered by the swoopy roofline. It's swoopy to an extent. It doesn't taper down to a fastback. And, you know, I just like this vehicle a lot. Costs about $50,000. Under the hood is 276 horsepower, 3.6 liter V6. And it's back with an 8-speed automatic transmission. All-wheel drive, as I mentioned, it's a five-seater. And I think it's very premium. I think a lot of people on my block go, wow, that's kind of a luxury-looking car, you know, in keeping with others along the way here. So certainly like that. A lot of standard equipment, of course, cruise control, adaptive cruise control is standard. Just a wide variety of interior stuff is standard. And a very easy-to-use infotainment system. I appreciated that, and nothing worse than struggling for for minutes. Maybe it seems like hours, but it's minutes to get the infotainment system to work or to figure out how to change the radio station or things like that. I'm one of those guys that actually listens to the radio in the car still, so that tells you something about my vintage. Like I say, pretty lengthy car. It's 195 inches long. I say car. It's not exactly a car. A conveyance. You know, pretty tight turning radius, just all around one of those vehicles that there's some vehicles, and you probably experienced this too, Chris, you just walk up to it and you go, I think I'm going to like this. And that's the experience I had with the Atlas Cross Sport, and didn't change my mind having it for over a week.
I agree. And I felt the same way about the Atlas, the regular Atlas, when I drove that a couple of years ago now. But Volkswagen did a really good job translating that larger shape into the shorter shape, so to speak, and it translates well. I haven't driven one yet, but I have seen one. The interior, as you'd mentioned, is very roomy for the smaller vehicle. And I've loved Volkswagen's infotainment systems of the past few years, just really smooth and intuitive. So I'm actually excited to be able to drive one, hopefully in a couple of weeks here. But until then, I agree, at least on the surface, with your assessment.
Yeah. Well, I talked a little bit about the interior cargo space and the volume here. I'm looking at the number right now, is 40.3 cubic feet. That's with people in all five seats. So that's an amazing amount of space. And if you fold down the back seat, you have 77.8 cubic feet of cargo space. So it's a good all-arounder. It's fun to drive. It looks great. It has a kind of a luxury sheen to it. So there's just a whole lot to like about the Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. And in our line trim, even more so. That sounds, I'm by your silence, I take it that you agree, Chris?
totally agree.
Yes, that's very good. When we come back, we're going to be taking your listener questions. So we appreciate the opportunity to do that. Stay with us, everybody. We'll take listener questions in our next segment. And we'll be back right here on America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. It is the portion of the program where we answer listener questions. We love doing that. We love bringing our knowledge gained, just workaday world that we go through to gain the knowledge that we then impart on you through America on the Road. It's a lot of fun for us, frankly, to do what we do, and we're very lucky to do it. But we get to learn a lot about cars, that's certain, and about the car business. And one of the questions that has come in is, what is the outlook for car sales over the next 6 months or so as we get to the end of 2020? What the heck is it all going to look like? Is it going to be a disaster, or are we going to recover? What's your initial take on that, Chris?
I think it'll be a few years before we can confidently say we've recovered. But automakers are selling more cars than they thought they would over this period of time. And the shutdown of manufacturing has caused some issues for them on the inventory side now. So I think, buyers are responding to some of the incentives they saw. And people who may not have bought a car or would have held off buying a car bought one or looked for one. So now I think they have a kind of a twofold problem in that the supply is running a little bit low for the vehicles that they are selling. So I think that it'll take a little bit of time for that to recover, but they're on a better trajectory than they thought they would be at this point.
Yeah, and I think most people don't grasp that. I think the average civilian out there probably thinks that, this is gloom and doom time, and it's a major depression in the auto industry. And as you mentioned, we're not going to recover to the 17 million new car sales this year for certain, and we might not next year, or again, we might. But this year will probably come in, according to folks I talked to with J.D. Power recently, probably around 14 million new car sales. And used car sales are just going great guns. They're going through the roof. A lot of people are buying used cars rather than take public transportation, for example. But that's only one reason that used car sales are doing well. The only thing threatening used car sales is the same thing that's threatening new car sales, and that's supply. So that's something you don't usually see in a recessionary period. And it seems like we're bouncing back very, very rapidly from recession into a place where the only thing limiting sales on the car side is really the ability to have cars to sell, which is something we probably didn't think would happen in mid-March.
That's totally right. And, dealers and even private sellers, specifically dealers on the incentive side, are pushing their used inventories to a much higher degree. I've seen some absolutely astonishing financing rates from different local dealers here and specials that they're running with cash back and sort of, long-term maintenance plans thrown in for free, trying to push people off of the new car side of the lot onto the used lot because they don't have the selection that they once had. So I think that, you know, if you were shopping for a used car and expecting to get a big deal, you may be looking a little bit longer than you'd originally expected.
Right, right. And if you have a used car to sell, it's not a bad time to go about selling it. So that's true, too. I know you do a lot of research and write a lot about car insurance, among the other kind of personal finance things related to automotive that you cover. What are your thoughts about what's going on car insurance-wise? It's a pretty interesting time, really, for car insurers, isn't it?
It is. I think it's so. My personal insurance company sent us a check in the mail. It's a partial rebate of our rates. I know Geico and several others have done the same. You know, people think that that's a very generous gesture, and it is. But insurance companies are still making plenty of money. Keep in mind, you know, they're giving you a portion of the savings that they get back from not paying out tons and tons and tons in claims as people's cars sit in their driveway. So the insurance industry as a whole is still healthy. I think drivers are still seeing rates overall come down a little bit, but then also getting those rebates has been a good thing for, been an unexpected surprise, I guess you could say. That's kind of a repetitive statement, but a surprise in the mail when they see that check come. That wasn't something that they had expected seeing at all. So as the trend goes on, I don't think we'll be able to say the same for next year. I think that, you know, as more and more people go back to work, we're starting to see economies successfully or not open back up, and people are commuting to a smaller degree, but commuting again. So we may see those incentives or those discounts shrink a little as time goes on. I don't think we'll see another rebate check in the mail. I'm way open to being wrong on that statement. In fact, I hope from a personal standpoint that I am, but I don't think that we'll see another check in the mail.
Yeah, we'll have to see whether the fact that people have essentially ceased driving and are working at home changes the overall commute when the economy is a little bit more opened up, or it doesn't. And I guess the votes are not in yet on that whole thing. We'll have to see, because it will radically change things for, among other companies, car insurance companies, if people are suddenly driving cumulatively 25% less than they drove in 2019. It's going to make a big difference. One of the things that's happened already is a lot of people are taking time to think about their car insurance and go, well, you know, my car's been sitting in the garage for the last 5 days, for the last 2 weeks. Why am I paying what I'm paying for car insurance that I paid when I was commuting an hour a day to work? So it's, we'll have to see what happens going forward on all this, because it could be a big change.
It could be, you know, and I'll just throw in that, you know, people are driving less as a whole, but I think more people have started looking at driving over public transit as an option for transportation. So I think, you know, the number of people overall on the roads is far fewer. I mean, I'm sure you can tell me in LA, the roads are probably it's a lot less stressful to drive to the grocery store than it was 6 months ago. But, you know, people who would have taken the bus or taken the train before might now be looking at a car. So as you say, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out in the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months.
Right. Absolutely true. Well, I'm changing gears completely here to do a blatant plug for my new book, The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule, is what the full title of my book is. And I thought I'd just let people know that that book is out there and available. And, you know, if you listen to the show and like it, you probably are going to like the GR Factor. So that's out there for you. And in the next segment, we're going to be talking with Brad Franz. He is the marketing manager for SUVs at Chevrolet, talking about the all-new 2021 Chevrolet Trailblazer. So stay with us for that. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad, and thanks for being with us on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, and we have a special guest. His name is Brad Franz. He has a big job, and in fact, it's bigger than I even knew before I just got him on the line. He is a senior marketing and advertising manager of SUVs for Chevrolet. And Brad, thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, that's, like I say, a big job. I mean, SUVs is such a big part of what Chevrolet does these days, and we appreciate you taking time to talk about an all-new vehicle that Chevrolet is introducing. Why don't you tell us about the Chevy Trailblazer?
Yeah, the all-new 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. We're excited to have it. The Trailblazer will slot in our Chevy SUV portfolio between Trax and Equinox, providing, you know, customers even more choice, which we know is important in when you talk about SUVs. And it offers a unique combination of style and functionality in a suite of safety services and features, all starting at under $20,000.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the small SUV segment is just has caught fire. You have a great entrance, a great entrant in the Chevy Trax, but Trailblazer's different. Tell us, you know, what was the thinking behind Trailblazer and adding it to the portfolio?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, Jack. We saw the opportunity, as did a lot of the other manufacturers as well in the small SUV segment. It's been the fastest growing. When we launched Trax 5-6 years ago, there were 4 entries really in that segment. Now it's exploded to 19-20, and we think it's going to get even more as we move through the next couple of years. So the opportunity, the customers are there. And, you know, as we started to look at this segment even more, we saw a pretty unique thing happening within the segment itself, where it's sort of splitting into two. And the Trax, which is always going to be about affordability and value for customers, is going to continue to play in the area that it is for Chevrolet right now, down on the lower end of that segment. And then, you know, enter Trailblazer here, which is going to come. It's going to play a little bit more in the higher end of that segment, bringing it a little bit more style, a little bit more design, and some more features. So we think we have a really strong 1-2 punch there in the segment.
Yeah, and although the Trax is the more affordable of the two, certainly Trailblazer is very affordable as well, and that's got to stand you in good stead too, right?
Correct, yeah. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the style, the functionality, and the safety features that we're excited about, all starting at under 20K. So by no means are we saying the Trailblazer is going to be out of reach. It's still an incredible value by itself as well.
Let's start out with styling, because this is certainly a highly styled vehicle, you know, just a good looking vehicle. And I think one of those vehicles that looks more expensive than it actually is, and that's usually a ticket for success. Talk about styling and what the thinking was behind it.
Yeah, so it really, it actually draws a lot of its design cue, you know, from the Blazer itself. And we're excited about that, because we think obviously the Blazer has been a great entry for us, and it came in and really made a splash in that segment as well. And we offer a lot of different trim levels here, 4 different trim levels to be exact. And, you know, typically with a Chevrolet lineup, you're going to have your LS and you're going to have your LT, which is always going to be about affordability and value. But where I think where we get a chance to really express the design and push it a little bit is going to be more in our higher end features with the RS and the active trims. And the RS, you know, as you know, is always going to be a Chevy staple of design and sculpted, bold, confident, full of personality. And then we are excited also on the other side of that to bring the active trim in, which is going to be a little different area for Chevrolet. We're going to get into expressing a little bit more of the off-road capability there with the active trim. So it started with the Blazer, taking the success and the design expression for Chevrolet there, and then expanding that. And you're exactly right. Making a vehicle look more expensive than it is only leads to success.
Right. Tell us a bit about powertrain and that thing. You know, it seems like powertrain actually is getting less and less important, but it's still something that we like to report on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we offer two powertrains on the all-new Trailblazer, both of them turbos. It starts with our 1.2-liter turbo that delivers 137 horsepower, 166 pound-feet of torque, so it's a very capable engine. And then our high-feature engine, looking for a little bit, the customers that are looking for a little bit more performance can always go with our 1.3-liter turbo, which is going to provide 155 horsepower and 175 pound-feet of torque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot to like about both of them, certainly, and I think an engine for every application there, which is important. Talk about transmission a little bit.
So we have two transmission available on the Trailblazer. The one will be our CVT transmission, which is available on the 1.2-liter turbo. And then we also have available CVT on the 1.3-liter. And for those customers that, you know, do opt for all-wheel drive, We do have the 9-speed available on the 1.3 liter. So from a transmission perspective, we feel like we have that perfectly mated to the engine powertrains as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's go inside the Trailblazer a little bit. I mean, that it gets to be so important these days, the creature comforts and comfort and convenience features, infotainment. Chevrolet certainly has a very, very good infotainment system, very intuitive, easy to use. Talk a bit about those facts.
Yeah, so it's really a driver-focused interior, which is something that we're excited about. And it starts with, you know, more rugged, upright proportions inside that really give us an opportunity to show a little bit more character. You know, the mid panel is wide. It has a really soft feeling. The accent with the stitching is rich. It's a tailored look, so it looks more premium. And our RS and active personalities even give us a little bit more opportunity to differentiate using some different color and trim materials. And the floor console has integrated armrest, which is big for the segment, storage bin, and everything's been optimized to really bring out a bigger feeling and give customers the opportunity to store the gear and the goods that they need. And that's really why, you know, it's really why consumers are now choosing SUVs.
Right. I mean, it seems like it has very accommodating 5-passenger room, and with some reasonable luggage space, even you know, with 5 passengers aboard. And then, if you want, and you turn it into a 2-passenger vehicle, you have massive amount of room for gear if you're going camping or kayaking or whatever you're going to do, mountain biking. How does that figure in?
Yes. Well, we kind of like to call it a place for space, and that means really the versatility to fit a lot of different active lifestyles. And you kind of hit on it. You have the ability to rearrange the seating in the vehicle. And that 40-60 split folding second row, which is something we're also very excited about, really allows you, when you fold that front passenger seat down, where you can store objects up to 8.5 feet long. And if you really think about that, for a vehicle this size, vehicle in this segment, that's really outstanding. And we've heard from consumers and our dealers and some of our even our media that they just really can't believe it when they actually start to really configure and personalize those seating and how much you can really get in this vehicle. And you know, we didn't stop there. It starts, again, back up with best-in-class rear seat legroom, 2-level cargo floor storage in the rear. So everything's really been designed to put as much gear as the customer can in this vehicle and still be able to, you know, daily drive it as well.
Right. One feature I really like was the fact that when you can fold down the front passenger seat, and then it has backing on it that will not get messed up, I guess, if you're putting lumber in there or you're putting some gear or something long. That just seems like a little extra touch that you wouldn't necessarily see in a vehicle that's this inexpensive.
Yes. And again, we almost felt like it was a must-have, because if we are going out and we're going to talk to the active lifestyle customer, we know that that's something that's going to be happening. And, you know, boy, what a dissatisfier it would be the first time you do that if you scrape up the back of that seat. So we knew that protection there was absolutely key, and we think customers really appreciate that.
Certainly the base models of the Trailblazer are front drive, and then you have all-wheel drive. What do you think the mix is going to be?
Yeah, we're right now, I'll go with how we kind of figure that out. First, we look at the segment and what our competitors are doing. We look at what our Trax is doing today, and then we kind of figure from there, hey, what do we think? We do think that the Trailblazer presents a big opportunity for us with all-wheel drive, especially getting into this active trim. So, you know, right now we're anticipating about 50-50 mix between front-wheel drive and all-wheel drive. And we think if we hit that mix, then that'd be really great.
Yeah. Let's talk about the active trim. I think a lot of people look at these utilities of this size as cute, more urban vehicles than off-roaders. Tell us what your thinking is with that and having this particular trim level.
Well, we are excited about it. I am personally excited about it. You know, looking over the SUVs, and I know all of Chevrolet collectively is excited about it and the opportunity that it presents here, because the active trim was really designed and tuned for a little bit more off-roading than what the rest of the Trailblazer lineup's going to do. And it starts with a sport terrain tire. You know, the RS has an 18-inch wheel. The active's going to come in with a 17-inch wheel with a little bit more aggressive shoulder design, all-season tread type performance, which is going to give you a little bit, not only better performance off-road, but a much different look as you approach the vehicle. We have uniquely tuned dampers to enhance the vehicle performance and ride comfort on gravel-type terrain. And we've also revised the lower section that's really there to give you more ground clearance, forward approach angle as you're going over objects. So, again, we're bringing a little bit more off-road capability with this active trim, and we're excited about it because we know customers want it.
Well, it seems with both the active trim and the RS, you have some vehicles, I don't know how to say this politically correctly, so I'll just throw it out there, that are more male-oriented. You know, I think a lot of small utes are often looked at as a bit more feminine kind of vehicles. Can you comment on that? What's your thought about whether you're going to appeal to both genders with this vehicle?
Yeah, I think we will appeal to both genders, and we are absolutely going out there to appeal to both genders, and you'll see a lot of that play out in our advertising as we start to launch this vehicle a little bit later this year. But you are right. When you bring more of an off-road trim, as the active will be, you are going to talk to a little bit more of the male audience, which we're very comfortable with. We think that that's going to be important. The RS, if you look at our performance today with our RS lineup as it exists at Chevrolet, we do still connect with a lot of females. So we don't think the RS is going to be something that necessarily turns, females away either. And then more of our mainstream, which we're just equally as excited about, and our LS and LT, I think, are going to sort of cement that in here for a really good opportunity with both male and female customers.
Yeah, you really kind of have a flavor for everybody out there. And this is a vehicle that seemingly skews young, but I think there's an opportunity also for empty nesters. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know what, Jack? Yeah, you hit the nail on the head here. We look at this when you talk about the customer itself. We're looking at this as two really big opportunities, and you talk about a little bit of the younger cohort that we can go talk to here. So that's critically important, whether it's single, couples with no kids, or even couples with one child. We think that's going to be a big opportunity. But as we started to work through the research and really started to look at the customer, we also saw a very big opportunity. With empty nesters, right? So as you're transitioning out of, hey, I don't necessarily need the big vehicle anymore, this is a really good jump off point where you're not sacrificing cargo, functionality, safety, style. We think that this will appeal to empty nesters equally as well.
Yeah, and even high ride height. That is something that's, once you do that, it's tough to give that up and get back into a sedan and be below the traffic in that instance. Let's talk a bit about safety and active safety equipment. Certainly that's growing in importance. Tell us what the Trailblazer offers.
Yeah, so the Trailblazer comes with, we're actually really happy to have standard on all Trailblazers, Chevy Safety Assist, which is really bringing in a lot of the safety technology that customers want today with automatic emergency braking, front pedestrian braking, lane keep assist with lane departure warning, forward collision alert. So a lot of that front technology that we think customers not only want but are going to start demanding here, and then also follow distance indicator and IntelliBeam headlights to keep things really clear, especially when you're when you're driving around at night. So from a safety perspective, we're very happy with where Trailblazer is, and again, coming out with Chevy Safety Assist as standard, we think is going to be key to connect that and safety with the customer.
Right. When you're looking to make safety equipment standard, I mean, certainly safety equipment costs, maybe not giant amounts of money, but certainly there's cost involved. How do you figure out what to make standard and what to make optional?
I think you look at just the trends on what customers are telling us that they want. And you're right, it does come with some costs. But if you look at our research and reasons for purchase within this segment, as it relates to safety, Jack, 5 years ago, if you were to flash the top 10 reasons on why a customer would be purchasing an SUV of this size, safety wouldn't even be in that top 10 5 years ago. Now, fast forward to today, and it's actually a top 4 to 5 reasons for purchase. And if you take out some of those reasons for purchase that you just can't message, it almost becomes a top reasons for purchase within that segment itself. And it's not just happening within this segment. It's happening across the lineup for Chevrolet. And you'll see us, not just Trailblazer, but you'll see us more with Equinox and Traverse and our future upcoming vehicles. It will be more of the trend of bringing more standard safety into the vehicles. And then also having the available safety as well that you just can't bring in standard.
Right, right. And what are some of those items on Trailblazer that you can talk about?
So available safety features that are going to be more on the higher features available would be, you know, side blind zone, the rear cross traffic alert. Those are the two. And adaptive cruise control is another one that we are very excited about. That comes in on part of our technology package on RS and Active. And that's one of our more active safety features that's available that we are excited about.
Yeah, and I would absolutely be excited about that and excited about having that availability in a vehicle as inexpensive as a Trailblazer. That's very cool stuff. We often refer to these as crossover vehicles, and it's kind of indicated that they are based on a car platform, but now turned into SUVs. Is that really accurate these days? I was just wondering that, as I was preparing for the interview. It strikes me that with SUVs being so important, maybe this is just developed strictly as an SUV, and if there's something else that comes off the platform, that's secondary versus the SUV being secondary. Talk about that, would you?
Yeah, it's really, I think consumers use the term interchangeably. And if you look at, this is something we spent a lot of time talking about. And really it just comes down to, you know, a crossover could mean something to one consumer, an SUV could mean something to another consumer. But when you really look at and study some of the search behaviors and some of the research, they really mean the same thing. So in the past, it's always been the line of demarcation, if you will, has always been body on frame versus the unibody. But I think it's starting to kind of move to the generally accepted term for utility vehicles is sport utility going forward. And that's sort of what we see. But we use the terms interchangeably.
Got it. Well, let us know and let our listeners know when Trailblazer will be in dealerships.
Yeah, Trailblazers are in dealerships now. We actually started to sell these late March or early April. So these are well stocked and in dealerships today. And we just encourage you to, you know, visit Chevy.com or go to your local dealership and check out the all-new Trailblazer.
Absolutely. I had a great time driving the RS version when I had it for a day. I think it was in June, and I look forward to driving it at a lengthier portion coming up. So, and Brad Franz, Senior Marketing Manager and Advertising Manager, I don't leave that out, of SUV for Chevrolet. Thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Pleasure to be here.
And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. And that was our interview with Brad Franz, who is the marketing manager of SUVs at Chevrolet, talking about the Chevrolet Trailblazer. Our thanks to him for being with us on America on the Road. Of course, I want to thank Chris Teague, our co-host, for being with us on driving today's America on the Road.
Thank you for having me, Jack. And I'll just remind everybody once again, as I always do, if you like the show, you like what we're saying, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us climb up those charts and get even more people to listen to us spew our wonderful opinions every week.
Yeah, so they are wonderful, at least to us. And thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. And we'd love to have you join us again next time right here on America on the Road. That's brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. With Chris Teague, I'm Jack Nerad. Thanks for being with us.